Welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Luann Crane, and your host is psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson.
And I'm Ryan Dobson. And Luann, yesterday Dr. Arch Hart was on the program, and I have to say, I was very surprised over the digital knowledge he brought to the table.
Yeah.
He really is a tech guru.
Mm-hmm.
He shared that we are on the brink of a major shift in the human brain because it's come to the point now where the misuse of technology is actually rewiring the brain.
It was pretty alarming. He also talked about the actual evidence from the neuroscience field that we're probably losing between 10 and 20% of our intelligence quotient, our IQ. Ryan, that's pretty shocking to hear. And a lot of it is because of these gadgets that we all use on a daily basis.
Well, they're doing the thinking for us.
Mm-hmm.
And if listeners missed yesterday, you can get caught up at drjamesdobson.org.
Now, before we return to the topic for today, let me give some background on Dr. Arch Hart. He is a clinical psychologist, the author of over 24 books, mm-hmm. and the former dean of the School of Psychology at Fuller Theological Seminary in Southern California.
Well, we don't want to miss any of this interview. So here now is my dad, Dr. James Dobson, with our friend Arch Hart, as we shift the emphasis a bit to discuss the implications the digital world has on our kids.
Dr. Hart, thank you for being with us again today, again and again and again.
My pleasure, Jim.
You must have been on a program with
this
me.
This is a nice setting.
Times.
I could come and camp outside if you want.
Well, there's so many books that you've written, 25 or more, and now you're into this subject of the digital invasion. It's become a kind of a specialty for you, and that is the title of your new book. Parents are going to want to get this, and adults need to know about it too, because what we talked about last time is that overexposure to the digital world through the social media and through emailing and through all the other avenues that are out there, the internet, can, if it is not used properly, can actually rewire the brain and make it less efficient at doing what it is designed to do. And that is scary because there are a lot of parents listening to us that need to understand what this overexposure can do to their own children.
Yes.
Describe that.
Yes. Many scientists are calling it an accelerated evolutionary process, meaning that the brain is changing. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be the same brain that we know. The rewiring is, as we indicated last time, for speed, and because we're pushing the brain for speed more now than anything else, and slowly we're losing content. And the systems, like we talked about, the tranquility system is one, but another important system that's being affected by all of this is the pleasure system. And this is by design. I'm sorry to have to say this, but the manufacturers of these wonderful technology gadgets and the gaming of them and the many apps that you get are designed to capture you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so they are designed to give a special pleasure to the pleasure system of the brain.
Dr. Hart, can you explain that a little bit further? Because I don't think parents are oftentimes conscious of the game's design or a television commercial's design. They're designed specifically to capture you and hold you in because they need to sell more units.
Well, that's the point of that's their object. Mm-hmm. That's their object. A designer of the game system has to design the experiences as they come along to stimulate the pleasure system and then provide a period of a lull and then stimulate it again. So they know how to do the mountain valley mm-hmm. thing as opposed to just mountaintop. If you just have mountaintop, there's nothing more pleasurable there. The science behind the design of these gadgets is phenomenal.
You know, Arch, I rented an old Hitchcock movie called Rear Window.
Mm-hmm.
I'd heard a lot about it and hadn't seen it before, and I rented it on a DVD,
mm-hmm.
and it moved at such a pedestrian rate.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the people stood and talked to each other, And I realized that even I had caught up in this speed of the presentation. But you start looking at what they do for the younger generation, and these flashes of light, and things are moving from one place to the
and
other.
I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, it frustrated me.
I can't understand what's going on in many of them. It is different. But you're putting your finger right on the point that we've accelerated. Speed is the issue right now.
And that's what we reward. We honor those people. We think, boy, that's really good. Look at how many things they can juggle at once.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So the pleasure system is being violated, and it's the pleasure system that creates the addictions that are perhaps the most serious. And the DSM-5, the Diagnostic Statistical Manual, will now include the category of internet addiction. Mm.
Which includes pornography,
which is a major concern for you. Yes, that is a very serious concern because I see what it's doing to marriages. It is.
You told me in my office that 60 million American men are addicted to
pornography. And teenagers and adults. 60 million.
60 million in this country.
Are already addicted to pornography. And you, Jim, you know what, in the old days when you were fighting the battle against pornography, it was the corner bookstore that was the concern, right?
Yeah, and you looked both ways before you went in there and it came out with something in a little bag. Brown paper bag. And now you just turn on your computer. There it is.
It's right there. And many, many marriages are being impacted by it. I get a lot of complaints from wives particularly.
It's a tough addiction to whip to.
Yes, it is a very, very tough addiction.
And yet, would you define what you mean by even, okay, in this case, a pornography addiction? I'm sure there's people listening right now that say, oh, it's harmless. You know, I look at a few sites. I know I shouldn't and I feel guilty, but I'm not addicted. Define what you mean.
Yes. And the first thing, when you are addicted, you play the denial game. Mm-hmm. You play it big time. Even the alcoholic, you know, denies. So usually there's very clear denial that's going on. Secondly, you are compelled to perform the behavior. If you don't perform the behavior, there's a certain level of discomfort, the withdrawal symptoms. Thirdly, you obsess about it. When you're at work, you're thinking about it. You're thinking when you get home, I must go on that website or that and go and get that picture or go and look at that thing or go and play that game. Mm. And when you're doing it, it's very difficult to turn it off. Once you're on the computer, say, take pornography as an example, watching some pornography, very difficult to get to a point where you can stop and turn it off.
Even at the risk of destroying your marriage. And we receive mail. I've seen it for many years, mostly from women because they're less vulnerable to this stuff. They can get into it too, but they're less vulnerable than men. And guys can get addicted in one exposure. I think it's more addictive than cocaine. A 13-year-old boy can see it one time, and that can hold him throughout his life as a spouse, as a man who's trying to serve the Lord. And it is a big problem, and I'm convinced that it is one of the major causes of divorce.
Yes, absolutely. And it's because the sexual pleasure is such a powerful one. You're playing with real fire when you play with that with that stuff.
And what you're saying, both of you, is based in science. It's not opinion. It's not saying, well, I think this could happen. You were on the Attorney General's Commission to Study Pornography, Dad. And Dr. Hart, you've been in practice for many, many years and have seen the results. This is scientifically based, not opinion based.
It's very clear science. And one of the effects that they are noticing is that there is a decrease in sexual intimacy with one's spouse. In other words, and they're expanding the whole pornography thing. You're going to get virtual pornography where you go on the internet and you have an actual experience with some creature in a virtual world and do things that you could not possibly do with real life intimacy.
And your spouse knows that your satisfaction is not coming from her.
Exactly.
It's coming from an image.
That is devastating. That's one of the reasons, Jim, if I just mention it, that we have launched, my daughters and I and a few other researchers.
Who are all trained in psychology.
All trained in psychology.
Yeah.
We have launched what we call a Sex in Christian America study, where we are pleading with Christians to go on the internet and let's get information. Let's find out what's going on in sexuality in their
lives. So they can contact this source.
They just go to a website, sexinchristianamerica.com. This is something, again, we need a wake-up call, and we need to know what's going on. And so we've launched this, and hopefully this will give us a lot more accurate information about what is really going on in the Christian world.
But, Doctor, before we leave this discussion right now, we've pretty much left a wife in a puddle right now who is exactly who you're talking about.
Yes.
She doesn't need any study to know that her husband is already pulled away from her and she's highly suspect that he's involved in pornography. What does she do?
Well, that is a very tough question because usually a man who is addicted to pornography is not open to discussion or change. And if he's not, there's nothing she can do to him. There's nothing that a therapist can do for him because he's not open to it. It has to be something he's willing to participate in. Mm. And, you know, if it comes to it, a woman may have to separate to get his attention. I know that's a tough road to hoe. And has implications for children. But talking to him is not going to change it.
No.
You agree with that?
Yes, yeah. That's true. It's as serious as alcohol addiction. It's a very serious addiction. And you've got to deal with it as you would any other serious addiction. It's a matter of, first of all, I would suggest that the wife go and get some counsel help.
Yeah.
You need support. You need encouragement.
Christian counseling.
Mm-hmm. And my three daughters are all in the counseling business, and they are doing this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And in other words, do what you can to strengthen and support and stabilize and prevent the spouse from declining into depression or getting overly anxious. So that is task number one, to do all you can to strengthen her situation, and just by providing someone you can go and talk to and share with. The second thing is to try to understand what lies behind this. And at a certain point, it may call for a confrontation of some sort, as you do with an alcoholic, where you say you either go and deal with this or not. And then the third thing is to get some help for his pornography. But, you know, Jim, I'm sad to say that the professional counseling world isn't well equipped to deal with the pornography.
They don't see it as a problem.
Because that's my point, that the secular world does not see it as a problem. And somehow we've got to – I think we've got to educate our Christian communities and talk more openly about the risks. I think pastors could have seminars. You know, I've been privileged to go to very large churches to talk openly about some of these issues. There's an educating task that we need for pastors and the churches.
I want to say something very controversial at this point. It's the last thing a pastor will talk about.
I mean,
there are some that will, but it's usually the last thing because he may be into it too. Mm. And if he's he knows the men all over his congregation who are.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to drive them away. Right. And besides that, it's an uncomfortable subject.
Yeah. We might have let it get away already. You know, we may not have confronted it earlier enough. But there's an educating task. I think many of these men, let's be fair, they think that what they're doing is not all that bad. You know, I'm not having an affair with someone. I'm just sitting here. So I think we need to call for a challenge. We need to get out there and talk to men's groups and educate them. Because it's not going to happen. The change isn't going to come if we don't show them the evidence of how serious these addictions are and what these addictions are doing to change their brains.
Yes. Dr. Hart, I'm looking at the clock, and I don't want us to finish this program without talking about what we promised last time, and that is advice to parents with regard to the amount of digital exposure to the social media and other things that they should allow their children to experience.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you mentioned in my office the first time we talked that it's sometimes 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds are already on some kind of digital training device or a game of some sort. What do you say to parents about that?
As early as 10-month-old babies already, I know a mother who's got some sort of gadget that a baby can just punch with their fists. 10 months! They're already getting into gadgets. One thing is proven to be very helpful. You see, it's not the technology, it's our misuse of it. And so what you have to introduce is disciplined behavior. Mm. And the first thing we advocate is that parents, all of us, learn to take a sabbatical, take a break, unplug on a regular basis.
Talking about yourself.
Including yourself.
Yeah.
And what we are advocating, offering in the book, is inviting you to begin to 24 hours every week, one full 24 hour a week. No iPhones, no emails, don't go near a computer, and devote that time to spiritual disciplines, prayer time, scripture, because a lot of people not even reading scripture anymore, Jim. This other stuff is too distracting. So we're calling for a challenge to unplug 24 hours one day a week. And then our website, thedigitalinvasion.com, thedigitalinvasion.com, can tell your story. Share that experience. Of course, the withdrawal symptoms are going to be severe. And the worse they are, the more you must do something like this. Mm-hmm. But the second major thing that parents can do is every night at a certain time, have a little family ritual where you stand around a table where there's a bowl and everybody puts their cell phone into the bowl. You have a prayer time, and Daddy goes and turns off the Wi-Fi for the house. Everybody goes to bed.
You get nosy now.
Yeah. And I can tell you, until we can do that, we got a problem.
Well, I can already hear the objections. Number one, it'd be very, very difficult. You want to return us to Little House on the Prairie, Dave.
Of course. Yeah.
But secondly, and this is how a lot of parents justify it. They're concerned about those emergencies. They say, I have to have my phone on 24/7 because my son's coming home from work late, or I'm concerned he'll get in a car accident.
Yes, and when there's a situation like that, but you put that phone in a special place somewhere. Mm-hmm. But you see, most of the family members don't need that. The other common one is, oh, you see, my son texts 3 o'clock in the morning, okay? Mm-hmm. And if I try and stop him, he'll be ostracized by his friends. And so you have this social connection that you demand.
Mm-hmm. But would you give a cell phone to a sixth grader, a 12-year-old?
No. Not a regular iPhone. A limited phone where it's only emergency, something like that, mm-hmm. Yes.
Dr. Hart, I remember being in Australia and hearing you talk about creativity and stimulation. Can you talk a little bit about that?
The best thing in my life growing up was my boredom. And we have got to get back to the place where we value boredom. Now, several philosophers have written on this topic, the importance of leisure, but boredom. And my growing up, was boring.
And what did that do for you?
It taught me two things. One, it helped me be creative because I could create things. I could build things. I could make things. And secondly, it stimulated my imagination. Mm. And I have a wonderful family, you know, 9 grandchildren, and not one of them can match my imagination or my creativity. And I'm not expecting us to be bored every day of the week, 24 hours. But we've got to be disciplined and unplug.
And that may even have a little bit of a detox period, won't it?
Well,
you
definitely.
Know, the parent who says, hey, we're going to start cutting back on this, there's going to
yes.
be some
there's
resistance.
There's going to be pushback. And in the book, we do offer practical suggestions and strategies. Don't shut down everything at once. Do it gradually. There's some very practical help in the book that we are offering to parents.
You know, Dr. Hart, yesterday we began by talking about how the brain is being rewired in a negative way.
Yeah.
But there is hope here at the close of day two. Can we rewire it back to a healthy position if we've already gone too far?
The science is suggesting that that at a certain point, it's not going to be unwired. But we are still in the earliest stages. We are fortunate to be in a stage that if we change our way now, if we learn to unplug, if we introduce the disciplined behaviors that are necessary, we can reverse the process. However, many believe that the evolutionary process will permanently alter the genes of future generations so that they will not have the contemplative, meditative abilities that we have right now. So now is a good time to change.
Dr. Arch Hart, my friend, my colleague, has been with us again. Obviously, what we've talked about these 2 days is very complex stuff, and we can only kind of wave our hand at it because there's so much here. I appreciate you so much. Thank you for being with us, and
Jim,
we'll do it again.
My pleasure. God bless you all.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, this program has been pretty convicting, hasn't it? Mm. Hopefully, this Family Talk conversation between Dr. James Dobson and Dr. Arch Hart has been as enlightening for you as it has been for me. And again, I just want to remind you, you can always go to our website for more information at drjamesdobson.org.
Lou, and it really does make you start considering a Facebook fast or a technology fast, or at the very least, better parameters on how we use our cell phones and tablets and computers.
Now you're meddling, Ryan.
I know, I am. You ever been at a restaurant and you see a family where everybody's face
is
buried in a screen?
Mm-hmm. It's everywhere. Or someone walking down a sidewalk, they're looking down at their phone.
Oh, yeah. There's been a bunch of spoofs on that. Oh, it's crazy. In fact, I saw one recently where they had seeing eye people. And they had vests
on
leashes, and the person was texting behind the person, and they were telling them what was in front of them.
We have to joke about it because otherwise it hits too close to home.
It's very, very true. And that points us to the book Dr. Hart was talking about today, The Digital Invasion, How Technology is Shaping You and Your Relationships. And that's available on our website, which is drjamesdobson.org.
And while at that website, I would encourage you to look for a link to the study that Dr. Hart mentioned earlier in the program called Sex in Christian America. You can participate in the largest research study on Christian sexuality, and I assure you, your answers will be completely anonymous.
That's right. And for those that don't want to forget the great information they heard today, or if you want other friends and family to hear about it, request a CD. It's complimentary, and you can do so by calling us at 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825, or on our website, which is drjamesdobson.org.
And you do hear us say this quite often, but I do need to remind you that Family Talk is completely listener supported. Mm-hmm. So while you're either on that phone or online, would you seriously consider providing a donation to Family Talk? I assure you, we will spend it wisely and be good stewards of that. And we thank you in advance for coming alongside us in this way.
That's right. One last time, our number, 877-732-6825, via drjamesdobson.org, via our Facebook page, or our smartphone app. And again, I can't believe I'm saying all of that after doing a program on technologies.
That is the positive side of it, Ryan.
It is. It is. Thanks for tuning in today. And please be sure to return tomorrow for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
We'll see you then.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Imagine a world where huge numbers of older Americans, and some younger ones too, will submit themselves to killing clinics, supposedly for the benefit of those they love. They become heroes.
That disturbing thought becomes very real in Dr. James Dobson's brand new novel, Fatherless, but it's a scenario that co-author Kurt Bruner explains could become a catalyst for change.
As the world gets darker and darker, the family as God designed it becomes more and more brilliant as a shining light. That's part of what we hope will happen. People will read these novels and realize, yes, it's getting darker and darker, but I can love my spouse, can nurture my children, and realize that it's the creation of those bright spots that will over time dissipate the darkness that's rising.
Request your copy of Fatherless today at drjamesdobson.org. That's Fatherless at drjamesdobson.org.